go to the Pharaoh who had the Hebrews enslaved. And it didn't work. Moses walked in with, "Thus saith the Lord," written all over his lips. And the Pharaoh said, "Nah." It took 9 plagues for that to happen. And then Pharaoh still said, "No, I'm going to keep them." And when I was studying for this text, I kept thinking of the pharaohs in the world, the Vladimir Putins, the head of Syria. We still have pharaohs today. So God says one last time, "I'm going to free my people." And this is what it took. Listen for this dramatic, gory, horrible word of God. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be a mark to you, a beginning of the months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Now go and tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month, they are to take a lamb, each family a lamb for its own household. And if the household is too small for the whole lamb, it shall join with its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb is to be divided according to the portion in the number of people who will eat it. Your lamb will be without blemish, a year old, male, and you will take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you will keep it for 14 days. Until the 14th day of this month with the whole assembly of the congregation. And you shall slaughter it at twilight, and you shall take some of the blood and put it on the doorsteps of the lintel of your house, and then you shall eat it. They shall eat the lamb that came that night. They shall eat it roasted over a fire with unleavened bread. Do not eat any of the lamb that is boiled or anything that is roasted. Keep it roasted with its head and with its internal organs, and you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. This is how I want you to eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in a hurry. It is the Passover of the Lord. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night. I will strike down the firstborn in the land of everyone in Egypt, both human beings and animals of all the gods of Egypt. I will execute my judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be assigned to you of the household where you live. And when I see the blood, I will pass over, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." The gory word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'm just curious, how many of you have actually been to a Passover Seder in the home of someone who's Jewish? Okay. Passover is an interesting time, and it generally happens right before Easter. Well, it always happens right before Easter. It's on a lunar calendar, and this celebration has taken place for thousands and thousands of years. It's actually a celebration about freedom. My friends who invited me, they clean the entire house. They have special plates just for the Passover. They have special pots and pans that they cook in. My friend, her dad was a rabbi, so they did this according to all those rabbinic rules. And then after her dad died, her mom used to fly in from New York City to Manhattan, Kansas, bringing her pots and pans and plates. Now that's a Jewish mother. But it always begins with the youngest child asking, "Why is tonight not like any other night?" And the answer is, because when we were slaves in the land of Egypt, It's not when our ancestors were slaves. It's when we were slaves in the land of Egypt. And so they find themselves in that story. And we're called to find ourselves in that story. I could find myself in that story. A small household. There's someone I can go join the Passover with. The women have a harder time finding themselves in the story because no women are mentioned. It's Moses and Aaron, and even the goats and the lambs are male. But there is a tradition that's happening among families, and women are starting to fill a cup of water for Miriam, the sister of Moses. And Suzanne's going to talk about her next week. I wondered how people could live with this story. It is so gory. God says, I'm going to come in and I'm going to kill the firstborn kid. So kill a lamb, and if I see the blood, then I'll pass over. It's not a great story and not great PR for the Almighty. But a friend of mine told me that there's also a rabbinic story. You know, after this happens, then they go to the Red or the Reed Sea, and the Egyptians are behind them. The waters part, they walk through, and then the waters come together, and the Egyptians are killed. The rabbinic story goes like this. God gave a group of angels the task to free the Hebrews. And they went through all the plagues, and then the Red Sea finally happened. And when the Egyptians were killed, all the angels started celebrating. And the Almighty went to them and said, why are you celebrating? And they said, the Egyptians are dead. God's response was, never again will I give you a job to do, because the Egyptians were my children as well. I think the Jews have to tell that in order to be able to live with the story. We get to tell ourselves this story in order to look to communion later on. But I think this story tells us it is a story of freedom, and that now it is incumbent upon us to look for places where people are not free and to offer freedom to them. There are places in this town that this church could work to help. There was a woman I saw the other day going down Penn in one of those robotic wheelchairs. There weren't sidewalks for her to go down, and that was terribly, terribly dangerous. Why the Americans for Disabilities has not sued the city of Oklahoma City for those simple things, I have no idea. There are things that we can do. There are places where people live under bondage in this town, and I think it's incumbent upon us to do that, to search for those places and to create those places where people can be free. I think Oklahoma City's incredibly spoiled having several open and affirming churches where we say, no matter who you are or where you are on your journey, your faith journey, you're welcome here. So we need to do that. Passover has changed. It has changed. I mentioned Miriam's cup. In 1969, white, black, Jews, Christians got together and celebrated at a black church in Washington, D.C. to remember Dr. Martin Luther King. They called it a freedom Passover. What are we doing to look for freedom for one another? And by the way, what are you doing to keep yourself in bondage? Because we all, both personally and corporately, need the freedom of God. So maybe this gory story is not just a story about killing and lambs and goats, but maybe it is about freedom, which I think God is still freeing people from Pharaoh's. Think about it. Amen. Will those who are serving communion come forward, please?